Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined live in conference room in Lifeway Towers. It's sort of like the Nakatomi Plaza up in here, Pipe. If you're familiar with the Christmas classic Die Hard.
And it is a Christmas classic.
This is where corporate things happen in the Christian world. And we are here. I'm live with Barnabas Piper. We have Ronald J. Martin on the line via Skype. Ronnie is feeling a bit glum. He's feeling a little sad because he's not here in this beige taupe conference room with us. Now, Big R, if you were here, I can tell you that I'm looking at a beige dinged up wall with two sad framed, like Andy Stanley-esque success quotes.
Well, one of them is Ralph Waldo Emerson and the other is Theodore Roosevelt. So,
like I said, very Andy Stanley.
Yeah, right. Just leadership geniuses of megachurches.
There's two whiteboards in here, baby, on which we could write like corporate ideas if we get inspired.
I don't do whiteboards. I don't even know what a whiteboard is.
Nothing is more inspiring than beige walls.
Baby, what's the hipster equivalent of a whiteboard? What do hipsters write on? Like an old slate chalkboard?
No, I think you're missing. Hipsters don't write on anything; they just speak. So we don't
spoken like, word.
I don't need those kind of embellishments, right? Like I don't do PowerPoint. There's no whiteboard. There's none of that.
If it was going to be something, it would probably be a chalkboard because any coffee shop you go into, it's the chalkboard menu.
It'd be chalk with a palette board backing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Baby, how are you dealing with this? The fact that Pipe and I are here together. What is this doing to you emotionally?
You know, emotionally right now, I'm feeling a little raw. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little fragile. I'm telling you what's helping me right now, though. I have a marshmallow fireside candle burning in the background. That's helping because the scent is just gloriously.
Does it smell like burning marshmallows or like s'mores or like what is a marshmallow fireside candle smell like?
It basically just smells like every vanilla candle that you've ever smelled in your life.
With a different picture on it.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
And a higher price tag.
I have a little cup of marshmallow hot cocoa right here with my my bright red, flannel shirt on because it's a little gloomy today on Thanksgiving Eve in Ashtown.
Dude, gloomy so in Ohio in November. No way.
I know. It's shocking probably for the listeners to even hear that that's a possibility. But but that's how I'm coping. That's how I'm coping not being live in the flesh with you guys, no doubt, who are staring into each other's eyes with like hearts, bounding outside of your pupils, towards one another. So, yeah.
And, did I see you post on Instagram earlier today that you got a Michael Bublé Christmas vinyl record? Is that what I saw?
Oh, my goodness.
Let me just say that I would not be coping well if that Bublé record hadn't come into the
mailbox. Baby, listen to me. I have an important question for you. How do hipsters handle one Mike Bublé? I mean, the reason I ask, it doesn't seem to me that that's an easy fit into the hipster community, man. He's kind of commercial, kind of buttoned down, kind of looks like a banker. I mean, how do you deal with that?
Kind of seems like the guy who would play like corporate Christmas parties.
Corporate Christmas parties, exactly. At Nakatomi Plaza. That's right.
Well, I mean, I'm complex, man, because,
you're very complex.
I'm not going to listen to I don't want to listen to like a Sufjan Stevens Christmas, right?
All sad and glum.
Right. I mean, I want to hear like big band Christmas, right? I want to hear a crooner. I want to hear Frank Sinatra. I want to hear Perry Como. I want to
hear
Michael Bublé
singing. Right?
Absolutely. A little Tony B.
Do you have the Rat Pack Christmas album?
I do.
Yes.
I do as well. And I'm like, of all of the Christmas music out there, most of which I'm not a fan of, I'm all in on that.
There's nothing more than that is
Christmas.
Hardened, jaded gangsters singing about the birth of Christ.
That's right. They're crooning to Al Capone's mistress in the first row.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's amazing they even had voices like that when essentially they were like gargling like razor blades, half their life mixed with alcohol. It's like I don't know how they had those buttery, smooth, like a muffin voices.
I think all the cigarettes and gin just made the voices better somehow. I mean?
Numbed them. It like numbed their soul and their voice so they could sing those just beautiful croony melodies to us. Is
Baby,
that what you're saying?
Are we going to have to do that to have a future in the radio business? I mean, moving forward? Is that what the listener is going to expect from
just
us?
Ask Larry King.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good, that's a future topic.
It makes you wonder if sort of like the whiny thinness of all the white guy music today is because everybody gave up Johnny Walker and unfiltered cigarettes.
Dude, seriously, white guy music took a hit when these guys stopped smoking.
When they started doing kale smoothies instead.
Oh, Judas. Don't get me started on that. Big R, what did you ask off the air? I feel like you asked something funny. Did you ask what we're wearing?
No, I asked him what he was wearing because I wondered how he was coping, and
we wanted him to feel like he was here in the drab taupe conference room with us.
Yeah, I just want to know. Let me ask you boys a few questions. What does it feel like to finally see the other person in the flesh? I mean, describe the emotions of that right now.
And for listeners, we do need to make clear, this is the first time Ted and I have ever set foot in the same room.
That's right.
Yes.
So this is either the chemistry will spark and be amazing, or we'll just have to go back to good old Skype podcasting.
I'm hopeful. You know, here 20 minutes in, so far so good.
It's working. Hey, here's my question for you, Pipe. Describe Big T's hair, you know, coming from our last ep. Yep. I mean, was he accurate in the way that he described both the hair?
I can't even see what's going on.
And the issue, hold on, and the issues that he's having with his hair?
Wow, can you this speak is hard-hitting radio journalism. I was wearing a hat when I came in, but I've removed it.
He's wearing what looks like a hand-crocheted stocking cap of sorts.
KK made this for me.
It's nice. Very nicely designed. Mm-hmm. I want to be fair to Ted because I know that he drove across
some
the
distance.
State with two children in the car, and nothing makes somebody kind of feel more matted and gross than spending time in a car with children. Mm. So, and I realize his kids are not tiny little kids.
Yeah, those kids are like 23 now.
No, that's your kid. But he's not wrong in his in sort of being at this tipping point of either investing more in the lustrousness of his locks or potentially shearing them off.
Mm. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Boy, that's...
That's a lot. That was poetic. I mean, and really, Piper, I mean, you're forgetting that for an entire year, I was in the seat that you were in when we had our radio show. So, but back then, Ted's hair was a little shorter. And so I don't know.
A lot of water under that bridge, baby.
There's a lot of water under that bridge, and there's some bitterness, and there's some angst.
But the water under the bridge is supposed to carry the bitterness away. Isn't that what that metaphor means?
You know, baby, you hang around the entertainment business long enough, Big R, you're going to get hurt. You know,
we just become jagged.
Jagged, jaded.
I would like to commend Ted on having the self-awareness to raise the question of his hair himself, as opposed to getting to the place where somebody has to be like, we have to have this hard conversation about
the heart-to-heart,
your
little confrontation,
your hairstyle choices.
I agree,
like,
man.
Like
that
the guys with the receding
brave.
Hairline and the long hair, and you're like, you look like a child molester. Like, we have to talk about this. Ted raised it well before getting to the point of awkwardness for anybody involved, which that deserves plaudits.
Ron, can I say something to you about Pipe?
Sure. I would love to hear your, I've never seen Pipe in person. So you're experiencing something I haven't experienced.
Yeah, I have. I'm about 20 minutes into that now.
I know, and I'm just dying to know, like, what is circulating through your heart.
I feel that Pipe is even younger looking than I expected, and it pisses me off.
So he looks like he's about 19.
He looks like he's 14. He looks like we could get him a uniform for the Augustine School Knights, and he could suit up with my son next week.
I could do an undercover journalism thing at any high school in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Today.
It'd be the best writer on that school's paper.
That's right.
What you're saying is like
yearbook and do an amazing
like that Reese
job.
Witherspoon movie. What's the name of that thing?
I don't remember.
Remember where she falls for the math teacher?
Designated mean person.
I don't watch a ton of Reese Witherspoon.
I know.
Let me think of the last Reese movie I watched, and I'll get back to you.
Dude,
on
it was
that
this thing. Movie? It was this very movie that I'm thinking of. So the premise is she goes undercover. She's a journalist, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she,
yeah.
You remember this movie, Ronnie. She infiltrates this high school. She goes undercover as a student. Yeah. Obviously, she falls for, like, the hot, you know, young math teacher or whatever, and hijinks ensue.
Played by Matt Dillon or somebody.
Dude, Matt Dillon is super good looking. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did.
Resonate, guys. Cut that out,
sorry,
okay?
You're just saying what everybody thinks.
We need to make this episode markedly less gay.
Mark, can you cut out everything we've said up to this point? But this is what I want to know. So if we got together, when we do our live show, our alleged mythical live show, I mean, it's going to be like me and you, Big T, sitting there, and everybody's going to be like, hey, like, who's the kid? Like, who's the kid? Is this
your son?
Like, where's Piper?
Is that Tristan?
I'm the intern.
Yeah, yeah.
Ronnie, I thought you had a daughter, not a son. Like, that's right. What's going to be coming up.
I get this anytime I go speak anywhere. Like, I got off the plane one place, and there was a guy waiting to pick me up in the, you know, in the luggage area. Walked right past him four times, and he
thought you were one of those kids that was traveling alone with like a little special badge,
or like or like, oh look, somebody's home for fall break from college or something. I mean,
the pilot came to give you a little set of wings.
I should have pinned one on and eaten some peanuts. But yeah, it took four or five times before I was like, are you with such and such organization? And he was like, who are you? And then he realized who I was. And his first comment was, wow, you look way younger than I expected. So
like, wow, I didn't know we were getting a guy to speak to the youth group tonight, man. I mean,
peer to peer.
This is not a problem, Pipe. Listen, you're sounding like one of those celebrities that's
called aging gracefully.
One of those celebrities is like, oh, I'm just so rich and so famous. It's so hard for me. It's so hard to look like I'm 19. I don't want to hear it, baby.
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just, it amuses me more than anything because I'll go to coffee shops to write. And I usually go somewhere near Vanderbilt University or Belmont University here in town. Mm-hmm. And everybody else is studying like organic chemistry or whatever. And I'm writing a book and I look exactly like everybody else in there, except that the seniors all look older than me. They're like, oh, that sophomore over there working on an essay for his basic writing course.
Right, Piper, it's like, okay, man. I mean, all celebrity pastors' kids have kind of a penchant for looking younger, man. It's
is that true?
It just goes with the territory.
Okay, I don't know any of those. I've never talked to any of them.
Wow,
baby, I feel like aging has been particularly tough for you and I. I feel like you and I we're both guys who care about our appearance. Am I being too forthright here with this?
No, I don't think you are at all. In fact, I'm just going to be straight with everybody and say that I've had a massive struggle with aging since I was born.
Yeah, since you were born.
I mean, seriously.
It just keeps happening and you can't do anything about it.
You guys, I'm not lying, man. This is an absolute true story, man. When I turned 13, I cried because I thought I was literally crying when I woke up.
My
parents are like, what's wrong? And they're like, and I'm like, I just feel like I'm so old now and I haven't done anything. I mean, this was me at 13. No lie, man. This was me at 13. I haven't done anything. I said that at 13. I haven't done anything, Dad.
Do you still feel the same way every year when it rolls over and you become another measured year more ancient?
Yes, yes.
I do too.
Have you done anything?
It's never changed.
Is it going to change after you write your heartwarming Christmas novel? Do you think the void will be filled?
You know what? Okay, I know. I mean, I know you're going to laugh, and I know you're getting a big ha-ha out of that, but here's the thing. Yeah, I know you are, but I really think the void will be filled when I can just get my Christmas novel published. It will be filled.
I mean, by the gospel and also by getting a Christmas novel published.
That's right.
You know?
I find my identity in Jesus and Christmas novels.
Yeah, right.
Guys, can we just assume the gospel, like when we're talking, like in this particular forum? You know, I mean, come on.
What happens when we assume, Ronnie?
Oh my gosh! Hold on, let me write that down for Sunday, Pi. If you gave me another
another pithy sermon illustration.
Right, hold on. I'm missing that third application point, but I got it now.
Writing as we speak.
Right, exactly.
Boys, we have a lot to cover today in our kind of live ep.
I thought we were done.
Yeah, we could wrap this thing now. Rachel the Held Evans, Pipe. Can give me the tour here of the Lifeway Nakatomi Plaza and
when you pulled up, you said you saw somebody taking photos outside.
Yeah, so Big R, I pulled up into the visitors lot here at Nakatomi, and there was a couple, a kind of Midwestern looking couple of indiscriminate middle age, and he was taking photographs of his wife in front of the building as though it were a tourist attraction.
Dude, it was Matt and Lauren Chandler.
Yeah, that's right. As though it were a tourist attraction and not just some drab office building in the middle of a city.
Matt was like, so this is what Lifeway looks like.
Matt was like, this is the building I'm going to buy in a couple more years.
Well, it's already sold. We're actually sitting on leased property right now. But yeah, no, that's the thing is that's not uncommon. Like yeah. they used to give guided tours of this building.
That's fascinating.
Where, I mean, we
like 30 Rock,
yeah,
you know?
That's yeah,
totally I mean, it's, fascinating. It,
yeah, it's like going and doing the like the back lots in Hollywood yeah, yeah. or whatever where you get to see, you know, all the sets and whatever. No, people used to come
I mean, what
here.
Do you look at here? This is where like some guy edits a book or you know,
this is Baptist Mecca.
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, go on the Hodge mm-hmm. from, you know, Branson, Missouri to Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh.
And then they go see the Opry at the Ryman because yep. that's what they grew up listening to.
Yep.
And then they go drink sweet wow. tea and eat barbecue. And it's sort of like the Baptist triumvirate.
Wow. That's fascinating. That is.
I mean, Big T, do you, yeah. I have a question for you, Big T. Do yeah. you think... Do you think that Piper could pull some strings and ever get our show into like a Lifeway catalog? Mm. I mean, do you think that's ever in the cards?
So the vinyl pressings of our show to get those into a Lifeway that's catalog? Right.
I'll take care of the vinyl pressings. You guys know that. That's not even a question.
No,
I'm talking
that.
About just getting us into a catalog with
we
the
need
words
to get into
Lifeway.
A catalog. Yeah, I mean,
I haven't killed enough people to have gained that influence yet. So I need to do a little bit more maneuvering.
Pipe's not yet a made man here at Lifeway.
That's right. I'm not.
Well, dude, I just
man.
Got a Lifeway catalog in the mail yesterday, which I'm guessing came from Piper. And like, I'm looking at Gloria Furman and Jen Wilkin, and I'm like, why aren't me, Big T, and Pipe in this thing?
What do we got to do to get a little Jenny Wilkin?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, man. That's what goes through my mind.
Well, as you look through that. See how much of a sense of humor is reflected in those products.
Mm. Jill Wilkin's kind of funny. Let's be honest, man. She's kind of funny.
Dude, okay, I don't know her. Now, I don't know if she's funny or
now
not. Funny.
In the, now by the male contributors.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
There's the rub.
Yeah.
Next topic.
So we have a lot of ground to cover today, as Ted was saying a moment ago.
You know what, boys? You know what is part of the ground that we have to cover is the reality of Happy Ramp branded swag from Missional Wear.
Yes.
Oh.
This is something that we learned of last week. We talked about it here on the program. Missional Wear is our sponsor. We actually got paid by Missional Wear.
We did.
So there's
real money.
A certain jauntiness, you know, a certain sense of you know, we're walking around with money to burn here. So Pipe, being that you are the promo king, I'm gonna let you take our promo and tell us about Missional Wear Happy Rant branded swag. Ooh, there's a new product.
They added something since last week's, which we didn't see before. So
fascinating.
Last week, we talked at length about how life changing the coffee drinking experience is from our Happy Rant bistro mugs, and then the travel mug that goes with it. Which is sort of that, of course, I'm blanking on the brand.
What Yeti.
Yeti.
It's a Yeti mug. Yeah. Start saving, though.
Yeah,
you know.
That's right. Said you're not sending your second child to college. Just
that's
get
right.
the mug instead. But now they have pint glasses with a very sort of malty-looking beverage in there.
Mm. Dude, it's funny. I've never seen an advertised pint glass with a beer actually in there. You know what I mean? Mm.
But
it's a bold move.
It's but I mean it really adds a bit of reality. I kind of wish they'd done some coffee in the coffee mug. It would have made me want that even
That's
more.
That's true.
And then of course there's the laser etched moleskin journals. Those are just plain blank pages, not lined pages, if that's something that you care about. Which means you can buy them and give them to all your kids to draw in on your next long road trip. And then there's the Happy Rant t-shirt, which we talked at length about the fit of t-shirts and how we all like comfortably fit things, not huge and baggy, not the baby tee V-neck. So this is a crew neck t-shirt.
Dude, I'm wearing kind of a baby Gap tee today. And I was wearing it under
bad.
A cardigan. No, it's not too bad.
It's not yet.
It's one of those ones that I wear under things.
It's not squeezing awkwardly anywhere that it shouldn't be.
Right.
But yes, all of this is available now. And then there's the code RANT, which will give you an additional discount. Apparently that wasn't working right away last time because I don't know why, but it is now. I have confirmed with Dear Jeff at Missional Wear. So it'll give you an additional discount off of our gear.
The CEO of Missional Wear.
Yes.
Right?
CEO, owner operator, sole proprietor, all of those titles.
Wow.
He's working from his own Nakatomi Plaza.
That's right. Also known as a half basement in Florida. Well, they don't have basements in Florida, do they? So it's probably a garage.
Yeah. There you go.
And then they also have a discount going on all of their other stuff, all of their other clothing particularly. So usually it's somewhere between 10 and 20% off other clothing items. And that's just running through the fall. So sort of a Black Friday gift buying special. So go look around. They have all of their standard t-shirts, sweatshirts, long sleeve shirts, etc. And then they also have other journals, other art and wall hangings. They have so a lot of great quotes and things like that. And as always, the gear that they have designed is almost always sort of classy and tastefully done, as opposed to sort of your kitschy Christian crap stuff, which you will find at
other places.
Your unnamed Christian bookstores. So
that's right.
Go to missionalware.com, search Happy Rant, buy all of our stuff, give it to friends to make up for the arguments you have at Thanksgiving about politics. If you give them a Happy Rant t-shirt, they will love you forever. That's a promise. And then buy other gear from Missionalware as well, because they have a whole selection and it's on sale.
There it is. Now, speaking of commerce, boys, Big R was... was at what he describes as a hipster craft fair. This is last week. Ronnie, you texted us a few pictures and a few kind of reactions to this, but I want you to describe.
Can I ask a quick sort of introductory question, just as context?
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, my mom is a creative person. She could have crocheted the hat that Ted is wearing, and she did some things like that. Decidedly not hipster, however. Right. So we're more like the Scandinavian middle-aged woman craft fair, which is so that's the kind that I'm more familiar with. Lots of mittens, lots of baskets, lots of you know, various crocheted and knitted things. Usually very warm and friendly, not very pretentious at all. Just people who are very excited to share and show, and usually, you know, things are a little bit overpriced, but you want to give them your money because they're really sweet people. I'm guessing yours was not quite like that.
Yeah, what are we looking at here?
You gotta understand, man. So this is like in downtown Columbus in the Short North area. The craft fair was literally called Not Your Mother's Craft Fair. So
it was exactly not what I described.
It was literally the opposite. And here's one of the unique features of it was that some of the vendors were actually dudes. Which is something you do
I'm
not
guessing a lot
see
of the vendors
at a craft fair.
In the hipster community, though, this is common.
And then some were very hard to tell.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that may be true, but I'm just simply saying that, like, the ones that I could tell, there was – I mean, not a lot. Let's be honest. Out of about 50 vendors, there was probably, like, five or six dudes. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like, and I've been to a lot of craft fairs.
They've really been working on their gender diversity at those craft fairs.
They have, man. They really are. And of course, you know, so the dudes that are there, I mean, they're doing like stuff like leather works.
Stuff
like that, right? So it's like all like super like over the top. Like, you know, these are like dudes that like have like sawdust in their beards and they're wearing aprons.
Yeah.
And they're like just, they're pitching all these products that where you're going like, dude, like I would love to get that weird like carved out bark mug, but like I don't have $9,000 today to invest in that, you know. But it was like all of that kind of stuff, right?
It's like so half the cost of the Yeti travel mugs, right?
Dude, literally, it was just crazy. But it was
Did
like
any
fascinating
of them offer financing.
Yeah, some of them offered financing, or like you could get your own like, you know, credit card with them at like, you know,
you
an introductory rate.
You could work it off at their hobby farm, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it was just fun because you
general store.
Right.
So you talk to these dudes, so they're all looking at me, right? So like I'm the guy with the wife. I'm one of the only guys with the wife walking, not looking bored, looking angry, not looking right. I'm like, I'm in, man. I'm here. Like I'm here to contribute, right? I'm here to spend $4,000 or $5,000. I didn't have $10,000, but I had $4,000 or $5,000.
Dude, now what are you wearing to the hipster craft fair? I mean, was it one of those things where you stood in front of your closet for a little while and you were like, what kind of message do I want to send here? You know,
baby, that's every day.
I know,
let's just
baby.
Be honest.
But listen, every day and by every day I mean the 3 or 4 days a year that you're not traveling. I mean, you're just in Ashland. It's a different audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. It was a different audience. And
pressure setting on like your average Tuesday than on hipster craft fair.
Hipster craft fair, it's in Columbus, which is the closest like pretentious metro area to you. So, I mean, the stakes are high here.
Guys, there was a lot of pressure. I'm not going to lie to you.
Not only that. What are you wearing?
Well, I mean, I'm wearing a pair of Levi 511s, you know, which are the slim, you know, like you know, skinny fit. I'm wearing a little flannel shirt to keep in with the season, obviously, and I'm wearing some Chuck Taylors.
Oh, the Chuckies.
And I got on a It was about 30 degrees. So I have on a jacket that I love, but that didn't keep me very warm. So I was actually shivering.
That is very hipster. Yeah. It's a jacket that I love.
The impractical jacket is a hipster thing.
It was the impractical jacket. Yeah. And I was slightly angry at first because like I wanted to wear this jacket, but I knew it's never been warm enough, but I always still put the thing on every November anyway. Yeah. So there I am pulling up into Hipster Craft Fair, literally just freezing to death, you know, trying to get my mitts around some of my credit cards and my dollars and not being able to like get them out of my pocket fast enough to buy those things that I want to buy.
It's hard to get those things out of your pocket when the jeans
are so tight. You know, man, it was a fiasco, guys. You guys could pray for me
Are you a multicolored flannel shirt or is it like the gingham style with just the two color? What style of flannel do you go
with? Dude, you know, no, I'm old school. It's multi. So it's the classic red and black and white lined, multi. Yep. It's classic.
Yep. Gotcha,
Yeah. So I keep it old school in that regard. But but it was fascinating, man. And what was even more fascinating about it was the only other dudes I saw there were fellow friend/pastor dudes from churches that I know in Columbus.
So you're in like the pretentious pastor community in Columbus.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a little bit of the oddball.
They're all trying to be culturally relevant and then get there and realize that no other dudes are there.
Dude, I remember this, like, as soon as you moved to Ashland, you started running down to Columbus. This is one of the first things we talked about. You were like a kid who, here's the parallel. You're like a kid who goes to, like, the conservative Baptist college that's kind of boring on the weekends, and you're always going home, or you're going to, like, UT Martin to party.
Yeah, you're finding the frat house with the people passed out in the yard, and
I'm going to Middle Tennessee State this weekend, you know?
I don't know what any of that just meant, but yeah, it's probably true.
Columbus is your, like, you know, cooler college setting to party in. And by party,
Columbus is just a place that has something. Yeah. Columbus has something.
It's a place with stuff.
So you're walking around here. I'm trying to just get an image in my mind. You're walking around. You got your flannel, your 5'11s, and you're running into other pretentious church planters from Columbus. And these are the only other dudes in the whole building.
Yeah, that's it.
That's fascinating.
I mean, literally, with the exception of some older men, like retired men, like those.
Yeah. These retired men are just there as sort of emissaries of their wives, right? They're just walking around.
Absolutely. They're just rolling their eyes so they can get to lunch, whereas, like, I'm legitimately there because, like, I'm interested and
I don't even want to go to lunch. I don't even know what hunger is anymore.
You know? Lunch. I mean, I'm trying to lose weight, so obviously I'm trying to skip lunch, you know, because I got to fit into my 5'11s. But,
purchases?
I did. I did indeed make some purchases. I bought a couple of you know, knit local sourced beanie caps, you know, for Christmas.
From the alpacas that are native to Ohio.
Yeah, from those Southern Ohio alpacas. Right.
It literally was alpaca like yarn.
Of course it was.
locally sourced Ohio alpaca yarn.
Yeah.
And
sorry, Bethy, you're not getting any Christmas gifts this year. All the money went into the alpaca sourced beanies.
Well, if she does get any Christmas gifts, it's going to be all alpaca. Maybe we'll just buy her an alpaca.
Dude, the alpaca's out of the bag.
It'll be alpaca Christmas at the Martin house.
Hey, babe, you got to walk outside to see your gift this morning. It's an alpaca.
Yeah, it's grazing in the front yard.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
If you're angry about that, take it up with Big T and Pipe.
That's right.
They insisted on alpacas for you this year. I don't know how you're going to get it back to Denver, but that's up to you. I did my part.
It's like the heifer project where you give a cow to a village, except we gave an alpaca to a hipster's
daughter. Yeah, right.
Yeah, she's going to appreciate that gift too, guys. I'm not lying. You know, that's going to be where her heart is at right now, living in Denver.
Her heart's with the alpaca community.
Yeah, she'll appreciate. I mean, she has her own stuff going on. She'll appreciate the alpaca.
Of course she will. Who wouldn't?
It'll be real easy to get on in the back of the Toyota Camry from Ohio to Denver too.
Baby,
right.
Exactly. How many hours did you spend here at the Hipster Craft Fair?
Guys, it wasn't long, man. We made quick work of it.
2 hours?
About an hour.
Oh, yeah,
about
an hour. Baby, that's quick. Did that give you enough time to look at everything that you wanted to see?
It did, man. It did. I spent my paycheck for the week.
He conquered.
Yeah, pretty much.
Was the conversation vibrant on the way home? Were you creatively kind of like innervated by what you saw there?
I don't know what the word innervated means, but I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
We were. So,
innervated usually means it removes energy from you. So
is that what that means?
Yeah. Innervated is the opposite of energized.
Oh, interesting. I've been using that incorrectly. I'm a word man, but look at me.
Guys, you know what? No. I want to use innervated in the way that we want it to mean, not in the way that it really means. So, yes, I was totally innervated and energized.
We're reclaiming that word. for our own purposes. Well, boys, we spent a lot of time on kind of a couple of things.
We spent longer on that than Ronnie spent at the Hipster Craft Fair.
We really have. But there's a lot there.
An alpaca out of it.
Now we have two more topics left. I feel like we probably just have time maybe for one more. So I'm gonna choose.
Come on, boys! It's Thanksgiving Eve.
It's Thanksgiving Eve. You know what? I'm fine.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, go big or go home.
Can put that in your sermon notes too, Ronnie.
We're gonna tackle
Hold on. Hold on. Let me write that. I gotta write that down really quick. Sorry. Let me get my happy rant Moleskine out here.
Get your Moleskine out.
There, it's done.
You could
I'm
just
good.
Jot it on the office.
Sermon is complete. Board. That was my third point.
All right, sweet.
Baby, are you familiar with the musical sensation Hamilton?
Yeah, I am, but I don't know much about it. I haven't like watched it.
I haven't read about it. I feel like I'm the only guy on the planet who's not like
you're not. It's me and you, baby.
All in on Hamilton. I like rap.
The only interaction I've had with Hamilton is that I watched the Grammys for a little bit last. When is that? The spring, I think, in the spring, and they did a live performance of one song on the Grammys. That's it for me. So I don't. I know that it's about Alexander Hamilton, and Lin-Manuel Miranda is the mastermind behind it and is seen as a genius by everybody. But
none of us have seen it, by all means.
We all agree he's a genius. Yeah, let's discuss it at length because we
because this is America. Clearly,
yeah, that's right. Talking
this
about
is the
things
rant where we mean. Discuss things that we really have no connection with whatsoever. So carry on, boys.
Yeah, but so this was a listener topic, and everybody loves this thing, this Hamilton. So there was
this Hamilton. We sound like
that's so old man.
This,
I
this
love
Hamilton
it.
Yeah. Thing.
This Hamilton business.
So this Hamilton business. There was a show recently in which Vice President-elect Mike Pence was just trying to go and view the show with his family, and it came to a cast member's attention that he was there, and there was sort of a post-show heavy-handed. Acknowledgement made of Pence being there and sort of this guy just kind of off the cuff a sermon to Pence, at which point Pence was roundly booed by everyone in attendance, which I'm guessing the Broadway show crowd isn't also the same crowd that would have voted him into office.
Probably not a lot of
that would be correct.
Not a lot of overlap.
Not a lot of people who went to Trump rallies also hanging out watching Hamilton on Broadway.
Exactly. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. So I guess I don't even know what the topic is here. I guess what do you guys make of this? Pence getting booed at Hamilton.
And then people getting mad at the booing, and then people defending the booing, and then so on and so forth. So it is the latest outrage in American culture, although by the time this airs, people will have forgotten it existed.
Are we going free speech on this gig, or like
it's our program. We can do whatever we want.
You know what I thought was funny? There's all this outrage about it, and then Pence came out with a statement, and his statement included the phrase, "This is America, and that's what freedom sounds like." So he basically defended the right of the people in attendance to boo him because he seems to have at least a moderate grasp of the rights of the American people to express their political opinions in a non-harmful way.
I didn't know they booed at Broadway shows.
Well, apparently they boo after the show.
Okay. This is fascinating.
So then nobody should be mad if the guy who got booed is like, "Dude, yeah, that's cool, boo me." I mean, like, what's the problem?
Well, I think that's sort of deflated the problem to a degree. What was just interesting to me is like it became this big thing because you've got defenders on the one side who are like, "That was so classless by the cast member and all the people there," and see the elitist left leaning side is just as vitriolic as the right wing side and blah blah blah. I mean, the whole thing sort of amused me because booing is about the most harmless way you can express your feelings. I mean, I think I've booed on this podcast before when somebody made a dumb joke. I mean, it's just a statement of displeasure.
Yeah, it's pointless.
Completely harmless.
Big R, have you ever booed anyone? Like in a stadium context?
I don't think I have. I don't think that word has ever even come out of my mouth unless I was like trying to scare somebody.
Have you ever been booed as a performer?
Oh, fascinating.
I've had some other worse things done to me as a performer, but no, I don't think I've ever been booed.
Which I think that just goes to show that booing is kind yeah. of meaningless.
Yeah, it's not like the worst.
Because the things that you remembered were not the booing if it ever happened. It was the things that you deemed worse.
Yeah.
Like if somebody had thrown something at Mike Pence, that would have been.
Well, now you're getting now you're talking about like assault and, right.
Dude, poor Pence. He thought he was he probably thought he was going to the like the Jets game and you know, his GPS took him to Broadway.
And if there was going to be booing, a Jets game would be a more apropos place
because
that's where those things happen. The other thing was he praised the musical itself. So he in his statement he praised the cast. And he defended the right of people to boo him, which I feel like if you were somebody who was booing him and then you read that, like, don't you just sort of have to feel embittered? Because you're like, oh, I just wanted to
be angry
at that guy and all he
said
was
nice
stuff.
Dude, you can't say that you dislike Hamilton in America right now. That would get you deported, right? You would be Satan if you said you didn't like Hamilton.
It's dangerous to say what we just said, which is that none of us seem to care very much about Hamilton.
I would like to say, you know, it's one of those things that, like, in a perfect world, if the planets aligned and I found myself at Hamilton, I'm sure I would love it.
Now, are you guys musical fans? Like,
no.
of musicals in general?
No, but I've seen a lot of them, weirdly enough. I saw Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. I've seen Miss Saigon.
Those are like classics.
They're classics, but they're stupid. Here, Pipe. Here's the problem with musicals: is that you're telling a story like a normal story where like people are talking and stuff, and like Miss Saigon's like it's like a war picture,
right?
You know what I mean? And then some guy just starts singing. He's holding a machine gun. He starts singing a song. I don't know. It's not for me.
Ronnie, are you a musical fan?
I think you guys probably know the answer to that.
Okay, what are your favorites then?
I like, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of, you know, I've seen Phantom of the Opera. I've seen West Side Story, which I really liked.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. And I love what I'm a fan of is kind of more of the old, motion picture musicals. Mm. I really love those.
Now I like Sound of Music. I can get behind
Sound
that.
Of Music, West Side Story, mm-hmm. stuff from the 40s, 50s, 60s.
Yeah, I never saw West Side Story on stage, just the movie.
Yeah, it was really good. So, yeah, I love stuff like that. I don't love, like, okay, so what was the big one that came out, Les Miserables, that came out a couple of years ago? I thought that I hated that.
Really?
Like, I was not a fan of that at all, yeah.
Interesting.
But
the movie or on stage?
I saw the movie, and I just was like, oh, man, I was so not a fan of that.
Now, Vicar, you're a musician. You're a performer. What is your dream musical role? If you could star in any musical, starring Big R, starring Ronnie Martin, what's the musical? What are we looking at?
Oh, dude, you're really putting me in a corner right now, Big
T. This is live radio, though.
Oh, please. It's the thing you were dreaming about last night, Ronnie.
All right. Captain Von Trapp. Sound
Captain
Von
Trapp. Baby, I could see it. I could so see it.
Yeah.
I just want to sing Edelweiss
in front of an
adoring audience.
Can you give us a few bars right now?
Baby, I could probably sing that whole song. I had to watch that thing so often with my mom because my dad traveled for work, and she would watch Sound of Music.
So your dad was Captain Von Trapp.
My dad was basically Captain Von Trapp.
You were at home with Julie Andrews singing Edelweiss.
No, if only. Yeah.
Guys, I'll tell you what. I'll sing live when we do our live on air, bro. Right. I can't do it. You know, I can't do it when I'm not in person with you guys. It's just going to lack emotion.
Cigarettes and the Johnny Walker hard between now and then. Your voice will only improve.
Deal.
Will do.
Yours too. Yeah. Good.
So Hamilton. So can we agree that we really literally could care less about the Hamilton fiasco and
I think we can even agree that it wasn't even really a fiasco. It was just kind of a shrug.
Yeah, it was a thing. It was a thing that happened.
Here's what's interesting. I know literally the only thing I know about Mike Pence right now is that his name is Mike Pence and that he got booed at Hamilton. I literally know not one solitary fact more about
that
guy.
Baby, you know what's funny? You know how last week we had our talk about the name Steve? And nobody goes by Steve. Nobody goes by Mike anymore either.
Mike is kind of old school, man.
Mike's like Steve. It's kind of 1983 in a cool way. You know what I mean?
Mike,
everybody now is Michael. You know,
right.
You call him Mike, they get all offended.
Or Micah.
Or Mikhail. People who insist on going by the full name, especially people say under the age of 25.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are any of them likable?
No.
I mean, if I ever hear a mom call her kid by the full name, you know, like Jacob instead of Jake, I just assume the kid's he's just a snotty little brat.
Yeah. That's
I
a
know,
six.
Dude.
Okay, good. All right.
But I mean,
sure.
But like Barnabas, can we level that at you, dude? I mean, should it be Barney?
There's no way to shorten.
I'm the only one.
Yeah, there's no way to shorten.
So if there was like 35 Barnabases running around and somebody was, you know, the majority were setting a precedent, then by all means. But I haven't met too many others.
Dude, I got scolded one time as an adult.
I love that word.
Yeah, I was scolded as an adult by another adult named Nathaniel. And I think I called him Nate.
Nathaniel.
And he said, I really prefer Nathaniel.
Big T, that's so crazy. I was literally going to bring up Nathaniel because I knew a guy that used to call his friend Nathaniel. Yeah. And every time he said it, man, I wanted to look at him and go, can we just say Nate from now on?
Yeah, Judas, because it takes a half hour to say your name.
I don't have that kind of time.
I don't either. Time is money, you know?
I know.
Speaking
time is
of
money,
time
which is what
money,
we make on this broadcast.
That's right. Yeah. Lots and lots of it.
Speaking of time being money, we have time for one more brief topic. It's a topic that Pipe wrote about today, as a matter of fact, and it's on this this issue of people leaving evangelicalism. This has happened a few times. It's usually always like C and D list people, people about whom no one really cares one way or the other, but they make these very public sort of exits from evangelicalism, usually in a way that costs them nothing. But I want you guys to riff on that. Like, what do you make of this? Well, why do people do this?
It seems like the latest rash of these, or at least the threats of these, have come in the wake of the election, where famously the statistics show that the majority of evangelicals sided with Trump and so forth. And there are those, and then there's all the baggage that comes with that. So people are trying to distance themselves from the baggage and then the term evangelical. And so, yeah, you get people who are like, I'm leaving evangelicalism. And I just kind of want to be like, well, don't let the screen door hit you on the way out. Because it feels a little bit to me like a child grabbing their knapsack and stuffing a peanut butter sandwich and four Oreos in it and saying, I'm running away.
Grabbing their shepherd's pouch and running away.
Because most of these people, I mean, with very few exceptions, are not leaving anything. They're just trying to distance themselves from a word. They're keeping their theology. They're likely staying at the same church they were at. They're keeping their same friends. They're keeping their same job, which in most cases is like self-employed freelance writer, which means that it doesn't cost them anything. Like, Ronnie, if you decided to leave evangelicalism, you'd be out of a job, as would Ted, as would I, because we're all gainfully employed by evangelical organizations. So it's just, I don't know. I mostly find it to be an eye roll inducing response, because I'm like, unless you decide to not believe in the theology historically of evangelicalism, you're not leaving anything. You're just kind of sounding like a pouty teenager who wants to be called by their middle name.
Man, that was so well said, Pipe.
Big R.
Yeah, man. I haven't left evangelicalism. Evangelicalism left me, boys.
Oh.
Also well said.
That's so cool.
Do you think you can work that into your sermon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right. That's going to be my fourth. I don't do 4 points. I only do 3 points, obviously. But that sounds like
a strong opening line, like your opening hook.
Yeah,
it does. You know, as soon as Jared Wilson ever invites me out to a For the Church conference, I will open up with that line. Okay, I'm just letting you guys know.
What's For the Church? Is that like his brand of conferences?
That's his conference brand. Yeah,
we could just shorten that to FTC.
FTC
goes with T4G and TGC. It's not quite at that level yet.
I didn't know. I knew nothing about FTC. Now, where is FTC? How often? What are we looking at? Small venues, small clubs.
It's Midwestern Seminary. Is that right, Pipe?
It's like seminary chapel size, so like 1,000 people.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And he's bringing out some big guns. He doesn't have anybody from The Rant on there, but he's bringing out some other big guns.
What kind of big guns? Yeah. Who are we looking at? Nobody fun. With this thing.
I mean, I don't know. Who did he bring out? He just had it, right, Pipe? I forget who he had.
I think they do it in the fall. So they do, and they might do like regional or in between ones. But yeah, I mean, so it's the same crowd as you would expect, but I think they focus a lot on pastors as opposed to, you know, organization leaders.
Dude, now,
sorry, boys.
Does it impress us that at Jared Wilson has his own brand of conferences? Is this like this is next level? I mean, I feel like, you know, the book deal world that we live in sort of pales in comparison to having your own line of conferences.
Well, he has a seminary behind him, sort of as the
okay.
So it's sort of the
like how Nike made Air Jordans. It's not like Jordan was making them
right.
himself.
And so you know? he he was able to kind of use the platform and the resources of that to create this mm-hmm. this practical and theological thing for pastors out of Midwestern Seminary.
Like, Ted, think of it like if we ever decide to do a conference, it'll be like us having the Rant backing us to do that conference.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, even bigger than a seminary, way yeah. more powerful.
Yeah, way more powerful. Right.
Same kind of thing, though. Same concept.
Boys, you know what? I'm really liking this Lifeway building. We need to have our own, like, Nakatomi building just for us, just for the Rant and our various business interests.
We need more beige.
We do. We need a big beige building with a 90s conference room and some whiteboards. Are you on board, Big R? Are you on whiteboard?
I mean, I'll have to put it on some pallet backing, but I'm close. I don't write things.
We'll need to have an alternate hipster conference room for Big R, in which the conference table is just a big slab of wood from a barn, and the entire wall is like a slate chalkboard.
Yeah.
The places where people sit are like those old like flip top desks from like a schoolhouse.
Yes, you put your lunch in there and your little books that you carried in with a strap around.
There's like a wood burning stove in the corner. That'll be big.
Dude, I mean, I like that. I just can't. I don't write. I mean, I don't.
You're
know
a spoken
what to say.
Word guy, write. Man. Oral tradition.
I don't write.
You know what the ultimate hipster conference room would be? Would actually be like a campfire. With just like some guys sitting on like stumps,
a circle of logs,
right. Or boulders. You know, if we're gonna take this vintage, like going all the way back thing, all the way back.
So almost like pre-fire. Who needs the fire?
Pre-fire.
Let's just go to a circle of dirt.
I mean, you're gonna like this, man. So I walk into my church this morning, and we got like this girl that does like all of our stage design. That's right.
You've got a stage design girl at your church, Judas.
I do. Yeah.
I mean, what does a minimalist stage need designed?
No, listen.
It's a black surface with a seat.
Dude, hey, minimalist.
You're forgetting what Sunday is, baby. It's Advent, right? So I walk into this room. I'm just saying, I'm walking in. I have nothing to do with this gig.
Yeah.
I walk in and right before my wandering eyes did appear, but literally five live Christmas trees sitting on our stage, smelling with the glorious scent of pine needles.
Your
man.
Set design girl has done a nice job.
Did they bring in the hipster nativity set that you texted us and then multiple listeners also sent our way?
I love it.
No, we're going to do a live version of that on a Christmas Eve.
And people will be like, oh, family photos. They won't even know it's a nativity set.
Right, exactly. They're going to be frozen. We're going to do the mannequin with that. You know what I mean? That's how up to date we are.
Oh, you got the mannequin challenge.
That was a topic from last week.
It's going to be the mannequin challenge via our live nativity.
Baby, I love that idea. I really do. Boys, I've got to sign us off, but before we do, I want to give a brief casting update on our hit television program, Designated Person.
Yes.
We had some good dialogue. We had some good traction, some nice production meetings over the last week. With listeners, and we've decided to go with the king of the costume drama. Colin Firth will be playing one Donald A. Carson. So congratulations to Colin Firth on being cast.
It's a big
as
role
Dak.
For him. He's had some
That's
troubles
a big gig
recently.
For Firth, yeah.
And we've cast Jerry the Barber, which I love this one. My grandpa was a big fan of the show, Barney Miller. Abe Vigoda, who played Fish on Barney Miller, is going to be Jerry the Barber, which I think couldn't be more perfect.
It is.
Thrilled to get Abe Vigoda. You know, couldn't be more happy to work with a pros pro in television.
Couldn't be happier for Jerry. I think it's going to represent Jerry well.
The actual Jerry is thrilled. We've spoken with his people, and he couldn't be happier as well.
I'm excited about the on-screen interplay between Firth and Vigoda. That just
a Firth Vigoda project
that
has
is
been
a pairing right there.
It's a pairing. It's a power. Hollywood.
It's been in the works for a long time.
It's been
time,
in the works
BT.
For a long. We've all
a lot of people
it.
Want to see them together.
You know, Abe Vigoda almost got that role in the BBC Pride and Prejudice as Mr. Bingley. It went to someone else, sadly. But
we're
going to
redeem it.
But
he bounced back.
Yeah, he bounced back.
And we're really glad he didn't get it because then we might not have gotten him for this. So.
That's right. That's right. Boys, we have wandered to and fro as we always do. This has been fun. It's been, I dare say, even a little bit more fun. Being that Pipe and I could be in the same room together. Big R, this has only made me desire live in Ashland that much more. I think it's going to be magical, baby.
We're getting so close to that, aren't we?
We really, really are. So listen, I want you to enjoy Thanksgiving, and I know you will, with all your accoutrements and Buble vinyl records. And
it's really just a warm up for Christmas for you. Like you're mainly it's a dry run. You're mainly just thankful that Christmas season is starting, right?
It's like preseason for the Christmas season.
That's correct. Everything you're saying is correct. Every word of it is correct.
Baby, enjoy that. Enjoy every delicious moment. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
Have you ever considered yourself a messenger? I mean, you are called by God, and aren't we all praying the big prayer, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? So if we put two and two together, you've got a message to deliver, my friend. Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, art to make, or businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andress, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. I use my mic like a machete, so if you don't like to get your toes stepped on or pushed off cliffs to finally jump on in with Jesus, I may be too much for you. But if you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform or lifeaudio.com today.